welcome to a special TRK podcast that is looking at the Munster Senior Cup final, school Senior Cup final, on Tuesday the 12th of March between Prez, PBC, and Christians, CBC, both two Cork teams. It was, first of all, the atmosphere was like something that you only really experience at schools cup games. Really feral, really tribal, opposite sets of fans kind of chanting at each other from different ends of the stadium. Really, like, it was like unique in that regard. You don't really get that at, you know, like Munster games or even Club AIL games. So that kind of twist on the atmosphere was really interesting, actually, I felt. But I think that even on my way to the stadium, there was a buzz around. A lot of the kids were coming off their school buses that they were, you know, being bused to the game. And it's kind of like, you look at it and think that it's got the feel of a big time game. And I think that Munster Rugby have been quite proactive in, I suppose, making that feeling of that final and even the semi-finals have that big game feel to them. And they certainly did have that big game feel to them. And looking at how, you know, the actual game played out, it was every bit the big game feeling. From the performances, from the scores, from the way the crowd were reacting. Absolutely fantastic. First of all, I look at some of the people who I saw from where I was in the press area. I saw Graham Rowntree, I'm pretty sure. I saw Mike Prendergast. I saw Ian Costello. I saw a number of the development officers who were there as well. All looking in this game, which is featuring real talent all the way through for both sides. And I suppose once the game kind of kicked off, like, one of the things as well you notice about the game, the flares. You see them on you know, when you're watching on the streams or whatever else. But look, I'm unapologetically a fan of flares at rugby games and sporting games in general. I know that it's not workable for Munster games or for, you know, Ireland games or whatever else, because the fumes, look, it affects some people who have breathing issues or like asthma or whatever else. It plainly wouldn't work. And the smell often was very, very strong at times. But they added something extra to the occasion as well. First, the actual game itself. Just of the highest quality. Like, I obviously watch a lot of rugby games. And this one, a schools game as it was, incredibly high quality. Not just because of the drama on display, but the skill set, the ambition from both teams. Honestly, outstanding. And both sides had a different flavour as to how they were approaching the game, which, again, I felt was really interesting. If you look at Prez, a little bit more expansive than CBC, much better on transition, unbelievable outside backs with a pack that isn't looked like there's no superstars in that pack from what I could see, but a lot of decent players and good players who had one job in this game, which was to nail the line out, which they did. Padraig Doyle, the Prez hooker, fantastic throwing, constantly found Prez jumpers at the tail of the line out. So, like, I felt that some of the CBC forwards stood out a little bit more, but the work of their pack, I thought Cormac Bohan actually in the at number 7 for Prez was really, really good. Oscar Squires as well. What an ovation for this guy coming off the field. It's almost like I don't want to mention that he's only got one hand, because that's like, it's not even an issue. Like, he played the majority of that game. He came off in the second half for, I think it was Frankie O'Sheehan, Mark Hetherington, I think. And the ovation he got. But, like, you don't notice that he's a guy with one arm playing. Like, that's the, or one hand. Like, you do not notice that during the game. So it's fucking fantastic to see that it's not even a big deal. I'm only mentioning it now because he actually played really well for Prez, putting himself about seriously. And then when he comes off, the ovation he got was something that stuck with me. Great player, just playing the game. Nothing fucking, there's no trumpeting about it. Just gets on with the game. Really, really good to see him do so well. But yeah, it is a little bit reductive to kind of put it down to Prez backline versus the Crescent forward line, because Crescent have some good players in their back line as well. I thought Alex O'Connell and Bill McCarthy did really well. Darrow O'Callaghan at fullback. They had real pace in their back line. But for me, all the standouts for Christians were in the forwards. And let's just say this as well. They were 14 points down, I think, more or less, in that in the last 10 minutes, 15 minutes. Should have tied the game up at the end, and arguably could have won it as well, with the opportunities and with a few of the conversions just about going wide. But really, I cannot stress how good both sides were, and how honestly it felt like a draw would have been a fair result. Prez started really well. Right before halftime, that's when they got their crucial scores that kind of put the game realistically out of Christian's reach. Now, as well as they did to come back, I think if Prez don't score those two tries before halftime, this is a much tighter game in the second half. And I think that was the big factor, was how Prez had that lead that they could sit on, that bit of breathing space that they could, like, that they had, that allowed them to counterpunch Crescent a little bit as well, or Christians rather, to allow them to counterpunch them a little bit. But watching the game back, it felt at times that Christians had a way of playing that really worked for them, but at times it felt they went a little bit too far away from it. Their forward pack were the big plus for me. Their front five in particular were absolutely fantastic. Michael Foy, I thought that Dennis Callaghan, Kian Walsh, even Dara Prenter, the hooker, Michael Foy, Connor Kennelly, Mark Skelly had big physical games. They're big guys. Like Crescent, like you even spot when they're warming up just how big these guys are. Big physical. Like Michael Foy, like I mentioned him in some of my podlets on the Discord after the game, just how good he was in that last 15 minutes, all the way through the game. But in that last 15 minutes, when Christians were under the pump, needed to get back into the game, Michael Foy was inspirational. Getting up, winning turnovers at the line out repeatedly, carrying an awful lot, defensively putting himself about as well. His own, Christian's own set piece, really good as well. Inspirational. And throughout the game, Dennis Callaghan, Beef. You could hear it because the crowd would chant "Beef" whenever he'd get on the ball. And Kian Walsh, if it was a case that they had full contested scrums in this game, now they were contested, the scrums, but you can only push, I think it's 5 meters max. If it was full adult rules, Christians win this game. I think their scrummaging, the power that they had in the scrum with Callaghan and with Kian Walsh, something else. But in open play, those guys at the breakdown, vicious. There was one clean out from Kian Walsh in the first half. I remember I was in the press box. It was right in front of me, and I was just like, "Oh fuck," because he was it was senior rugby fucking clean out. And there was a lot of physicality in this game. Like, both sides were really fucking horsing into it, because there's a lot of needle between these two teams. Like, you could even see it in the warm-up. Like, Ger Burke, the Prez head coach, was kind of getting stuck in Christians because they were encroaching onto Prez's half of the field for the warm-up. So there was an edge there. And, there was an edge between both crowds. These are young fellas as well, so there's going to be a bit of fucking heat there. There absolutely was. But it added to the occasion as well, I think. No side, both forwards really fucking going at it. But yeah, Christians unlucky to lose, I felt. Looked like they really finished the game really strongly. Prez, in the forwards in particular, lived with Christians for the majority of the game. But that last 10-15 minutes, Christians really got the edge, started getting over the gain line up the middle of the field. And that was the basis of all of their comeback. And again, look, I spent a lot of time focusing on Christians because I'm going to speak a fair bit about Prez now. but there's some really good players in that Christians team. Some of them maybe won't go into the academy this summer, but if they take into AIL and keep developing, they're guys who can have a real career and worth watching. There's a lot of guys there who are really worth watching once they leave school. And there'll be some fellas who'll be back again next year, really worth watching. But yeah, looking at Prez, the champions, as much as I'd say that the game deserved a draw, I can't say that Prez weren't worthy champions either. Best team in the tournament, from what I've seen all season. Just the quality that they have, in the outside backline in particular. I've glossed over their forwards a small bit. Their forwards stuck right in there. And like I said, I thought Cormac Bohan was a standout for me. Alex Alderson stood out for me as well. But for me, the backline was the big... It was the big plus for me. They're just ridiculously good. there's only one way to put it. In John Wigginton Barrett, his father played for Cork City, I think. His father were an he's a hurler. I think he's a hurler as well. Just unbelievable pace. The try he scored on transition, just the pace alone. I've been to a lot of games at Musgrave Park from that spot. I haven't seen a lot of guys running that quickly. Really, really interesting talent, him. Obviously, there's a bit of tug of war there between hurling and the rugby, but what an occasion for a guy to score. The tries he scored, the line breaks he scored as well. I thought Harry Murphy at 10 for Prez was really good in facilitating what is the biggest cheat code in school rugby right now, which is the Prez midfield of James O'Leary and Jean O'Leary Kareem, the captain of Prez, were absolutely unbelievable in this game. I've seen people saying that they look like two pro rugby players that were dropped in to play a schools game, and it's absolutely true. James O'Leary at 12 is one of the biggest players I've seen at this level playing in the backs, with the power and the physicality that he has, the leg drive that he has. He's big up top, big arms, big chest, the whole lot. This guy's legs. There was one time I think he was taking a trucking it up off the lineout. And it's just the guys who are tackling him look like they're in second year or third year compared to him. Just the physicality of this guy is unbelievable. But the thing is, he gets the game as well. Sometimes you'll get players, all right, who are obviously just big physical freaks. And they've always been big physical freaks coming up playing this game. So everything's kind of come easy to them. So they don't have a massive amount of rugby IQ. That isn't James O'Leary. It's not James O'Leary. He gets what his role is. And Prez used him as a compression agent in the middle of the field to basically compress the opposition defence so he could let the ball out back to either Harry Murphy or Jean O'Leary Kareem. And it worked every time, because you cannot step off this guy. James O'Leary is the type of guy where I think you could probably plug him into Munster's pre-season training this summer, and he wouldn't look wildly out of place at senior pro rugby. But then you realise he's in fifth year of secondary school. He's got another year of school to do. He is a cast iron entry into the Munster Academy in the summer of 2025. As long as he's fit and playing all the way through. Sometimes guys get injured or whatever else, but even then, the physicality, the power of this guy, and the line breaks that he got, the try that he scored, but the line breaks that he was able to generate with the power of just jogging through fellas. Obviously, he'd have to translate up to senior pro level, but if he's this strong and powerful at 18, what are we talking about next year with another year of the S&C in Munster schools rugby, which has really come on in the last few years? And what's this guy going to be like once he gets into a pro setup? I'm talking there as if it's an inevitability, but it is an inevitability. maybe he'll choose the football, the Cork football. He's playing for them at minor level now. But if this guy chooses rugby, there's a Munster senior contract for him within 2 years of him joining the Munster Academy, in my opinion. Unbelievable. Unbelievable athlete. Then you have like Neville O'Leary, who, again, tall, powerful, another O'Leary cousin as well. Gets over the gain line on the edges. He's quick. He's elusive. Scored a fantastic try as well. Another really good talent. A fellow who I could see playing with UCC next season in 1A. He's a fellow I'm going to be looking out for. Decky Fitzgerald, a fullback, was really good for Prez as well. But look, I can't talk about Prez and not talk about Gino Leary Kareem. And I got to be careful with how I talk about this guy because hype is a... it's a killer for young players, I think. Because young men who are out there, who are fucking playing this game with the crowd, the adulation that's there at schools level, then you get up to Munster level and you're to be seen at that level, it the status changes is wild, right? And this is true for Leinster, Munster, Connacht and Ulster. It's easy for guys to switch off and think that they've got it all figured out once they hear a bit of praise from guys like me or from people around them or in the newspapers or whatever else. But I'll say this, and I've been thinking about it, and I said it to some friends of mine yesterday. Gino Leary Kareem is the best player I've ever seen at this level. I've seen Jack Crowley. I've seen Alex Kendallin. I've seen Gary Ringrose. I have seen Caelan Dorris. I have seen all of these guys who've come through, I haven't seen anybody as dominant or as effective with this level of game IQ and this level of athleticism ever in my time doing this. And that's obviously high praise. Gino Leary Kareem will go into the Munster Academy this summer, straight out of school. I would be stunned if he didn't. But he will. The appreciation of what this guy did in this final, as the captain, as the fella who, you know, would have come into this game with all week, well, the last couple of weeks since the semi-final, all year really. People talking about this guy like that he's just unbelievably good, right? That he's just a like top quality player. And bear in mind, like, as in, last year he was in the same team as Ben O'Connor. And he's come on again since then. Like Ben O'Connor, another great schools player, another fellow who you're thinking, geez, this guy's some fucking talent. Same with Pat Campbell. And look, obviously, as we've seen, injuries can happen, lads, when they come into the academy and get playing like that. We've seen Pat Campbell, his progress stall a little bit because of just consistent injuries one after the other. But looking at Gino Leary Kareem and looking at the performance in this game, knowing that all along people are building him up and talking him, like he's going to be the guy who's going to win us the Schools Cup. He's going to be the guy. He's the captain. He's playing for Ireland under 18. He's captained Ireland at sevens level at under 18. The pressure that and the expectation on that guy coming into this game would have been colossal. Because when you get there, right, you might think, oh, this is a schools game. So you think, oh, the pressure is off, right? Or there's no massive pressure at all. Couldn't be further from the truth. Like, you felt the tension in that stadium before the game. Like, 10 minutes before kickoff, the noise inside there was unbelievable. It was packed in the stand. Packed in the stand. The east stand or the east terrace as well was pretty full and both ends had healthy enough numbers there as well. Like, if Munster got this crowd for, we'll say, a URC game against, you know, Dragons or something like that, they'd be just like, okay, pretty good. Like, there's real pressure and expectation there. And sometimes you see fellas having that pressure and expectation and the game is finished. And did they play well? Kind of, yeah. Did they play poorly? Absolutely not. They played their part. But for Gino Leary Kareem, like, he was everywhere in this game. He scored the first try for Prez on a charge down because he's ridiculously quick. You could see in the warm-up that
Prez were just constantly trying to work him into that three-quarter space off the James O'Leary compression in the middle so he can just attack around the corner with just, like I said, unbelievable pace. that low center of gravity. Like I'd say he's around 6 foot, 6 foot one. That's how he togs around that. Togs out around that size, I'd say. And he is way stronger than what you might think. Oh, 6 foot. You know, how powerful can he be? Really powerful, coming around the corner. But it's not just that. Oh well, he's really quick and really powerful. The skill set that he has, his offloading, the passing. But and some guys who are really good at offloading and really good at passing, that's all they do. It's all they look to do because look, that's what I'm good at. That's what I'm going to try to do. He doesn't just do that either. Like when it comes to this, like to playing the simple pass, he plays a simple pass because some guys who are really really good at this age, right? They end up playing kind of hero ball, right? Where I've got the ball, I'm going straight for the try line. No one's going to stop me. Whatever else, right? He doesn't do that either. So you see some guys like that who it's like not all about them, but like obviously they're the best player on the team, best player on the pitch probably, and they want to show that. I sometimes you see that with Sean French, who by the way is playing for Bedford Blues at the moment and who is absolutely killing it for Bedford in the Championship, scoring fucking tries every other week. A great player who I think didn't get a proper fair shake under Van Cron, and I don't even think he's done with Munster Rugby either. He's a fella who I could see coming back in a year or two, just because the way he's playing and the way he's matured as a player now is unbelievable. But like watching him for Prez back in the day, it all went through him. But because of the build that Prez have in midfield with James O'Leary and Jean O'Leary Kareem, they have, with that combination, something that no team at this level can live with, which is the threat of James O'Leary carrying the ball from the second layer. And again, a fella who's really intelligent as well, understands when to pass, and his passing quality is really good. And then Jean O'Leary Kareem mixed in with that, who is just a kind of a strike playmaker, who is unbelievably skilled offloading, but is IQ, understanding when to give the pass exactly, when to offload exactly. And because he establishes his threats early, because he establishes how quick he is with the ball in hand, how you cannot step off him for a second because he puts guys into a blender when they try to stand him up. But it's the ability to get the ball away and the opposition's knowledge of that, where they have to compress in on him, but he's got the ability to pass out of that compression either via really accurate passing off both sides, traditional offloads, offloads over the top of the head, like just unbelievable. And then he's goal kicking, right? There was one in particular. I shared it on my Instagram this morning because the Examiner were covering this and with streamsport.ie, who are the best in the business when it comes to the streaming of sports games like this. They had a 4-camera setup. One of the cameras was on the side of the pitch. If you watched the stream, you would have seen it. And there was a kick of Jean O'Leary Kareem's conversion, right? Where Prez had, that was their fifth try. And there was a lot of noise coming because it was right in front of the Christians fans, which sounds like something you might see in the Coliseum. In just right there. It was right next to where they were. And they were giving him fucking hell, right? They were shouting and roaring at him, trying to put him off or whatever else. And it was a tough conversion for a right-footed kicker, because the kick is always curling away from the posts. And he nailed the conversion with the crowd on his back the entire time. There was no silence here. And then just shushes them and gets back to playing. I love that shit anyway, but with all the pressure, all the expectation on him, and the crowd right there waiting for him to fuck up, to have the bollocks to do that then, that's a big player. And like, it's not just offensive side of the ball as well. He absolutely broke up Charlie O'Shea, who had a great game for Christians as well. Really, Charlie O'Shea is a guy, I think he's only in fourth year yet. That's going to be a very special player in 2 years' time, one to watch. But he got caught by Jean O'Leary Kareem in the with a tackle that the fella did well to get back up and play as well as he did after it, I'll put it like that. But then down the other end in the second half, Christians were pushing, trying to get a big score back early in the second half. Who gets the rip on their own try line? Gino Leary, Kareem. And look, that's what I'm trying to explain here, is that you've often seen fellas who have had good performances, they play well in big games like this, but he was expected to be the best player on the pitch all season long for Prez. And then he was. He was expected in the build-up to this final to be the fella who wins it for Prez. And then he did. And didn't just do it by, you know, putting in a 7 out of 10 performance and, you know, showing up well. This was a 5-star performance from the captain and the best player on the field on the biggest game he would have played in his young life to date. And just that alone marks a fella out as, that's a special mentality here. Because I remember I've seen Alex Kendallin play at this level for Prez. And I remember doing a Young Bucks article on him in his first year in the academy. I'm going to be doing a Young Bucks article on Gino Leary Kareem. And the stuff that you'll see in that article, the clips you will see, you'll be thinking, fucking hell, this guy's unbelievable. But Alex Kendallin was that guy as well. He was the best player on the park for Prez coming through in the season that he was, ended up playing senior rugby the year afterwards for Munster repeatedly. He played in European Cup quarterfinal, I think it was. But now, when you have Gino Leary Kareem, again, who I think is the best player I've ever seen at this level, and I'm saying that in as qualified a way as I can, to do that performance as that guy is remarkable. Remarkable. And Ger Burke said he's a once-in-a-generation player afterwards, which is, again, mighty high praise. But Ger Burke would know. And I think Ger Burke is right. So it was a performance. If you can watch this game back, it's a fantastic game, but it's worth watching for the performances, in my opinion, of three guys in particular: Michael Foy, James O'Leary, and Gene O'Leary Kareem. If you can watch the game back, and I think you can on demand with the Irish Examiner Sport, you will not be disappointed at the quality of the game. And the performances of those three guys in particular are really worth watching, as well as others. But those are the three who really stood out to me. And, you know, the quality, and this is something that has been the case for, I think, the last couple of years now, the quality of the Munster Senior Schools Cup is as good as you'll get anywhere in this country. And I think for years it was the case that the Leinster Senior Cup was the better tournament with better players and kind of higher skill levels involved. I don't think that's been true for at least the last two or three seasons. You look at the skill, the coaching on display for both sides, like Christians were really well coached, same with Prez, and the size and the power and the quality of the athletes who are coming through. Again, we haven't seen this. Like, this is, again, it's new territory for me, because, again, I've been paying really close attention to schools rugby now for a good number of, like, of years. Like, remember Craig Casey, right? When he was coming through for, I want to say, either Munchins or Ardscoil Reach. I think it was Ardscoil Reach. You could tell, obviously, geez, that fella's got a great fucking pass. And then you hope that develops as they get older. And for the Irish under 20s, Casey was a huge star. And then went on to be a big player for Munster. He still is. And he's got Irish international caps in a year, in a time, I think, when it's never been harder for new guys to be capped. You look at how Jack Crowley came through, guys like that. Alex Kendallin, how well he has come through and developed. These guys weren't coming through in 2013, 2014, or 2015, 2016 even. Now they are, and it shows the work that's going on at developmental level in the Munster system, with the development officers, with the CCROs, with the coaching that's going on in the schools as well, like the way that Prez play, really sophisticated rugby, the transition game that they play. And look, you've got to have the players to make it work, but they do, when they did. It's really, really encouraging about the future of Munster rugby, because it's not just guys coming through in one spot. Where before, you know, it used to be the case where, oh, well, there's a few good back rows coming through and a few coaches' sons in the second row. But now you've got guys who are genuine athletes coming through at this level. And then and that's just at schools, right? So we're talking about, like, we're talking about James O'Leary and Gene O'Leary Kareem, a 12 and 13 pairing, the likes of which we haven't seen coming through at Munster. I'm honestly saying, God's honest truth, 20 years, more. But now, I think, like, maybe 5 years ago, maybe James O'Leary, they put him at 8. But because numbers are increasing now, because the prestige of playing in these tournaments is more and it's bigger, all of a sudden it's easier. It's easier to put your bigger guys at 12 and run that. Like Gino Lee or Kareem maybe would have been 10 any other time. And he probably would have hit his talent under a bucket a small bit. But at outside centre, he's the best player on the pitch, on any pitch that you put him on. And that's the great thing. And that, like, that's the really encouraging thing for Munster Rugby, because we're not even talking about the talent that's coming through from the schools. Or not the schools, the clubs. So there's guys who are coming through who are just really exciting players, the likes of Fiona O'Mara. Never mind some of the other fellas who are coming through from, like, that I haven't heard of yet, but will hear of. Like, the talent is coming through. Like, you look at Eben Odogbo, you look at Sean Odogbo. They did not come through Prez. They didn't come through Christians. They came from Cove. And, like, you look at Brian Gleeson, went to Rockwell, I think it was, but, like, as in, he came up playing rugby with his club. This is the kind of talent and the kind of development that everybody was saying Munster need to get their act together. And people have been saying that repeatedly, but this all started in 2017, 2016, 2017, and now we're beginning to see it in 2024 with talent coming through everywhere. Tom Wood, another fella we haven't even got a chance to speak about really, but he's unbelievable. Keith Wood's young fella, playing at 10. There's other fellas as well who we haven't mentioned, like there's like the likes of Calvi. There's the likes of Aina McCarthy, who's playing with UCC now, but a great talent as well. The talent is there in Munster Rugby now, and utilising it is going to be, if we can utilise it properly, there is a generation of players here who can come through in every position that I think could be the envy of any team in Europe. Because the quality is there. Guys like Gene O'Leary Kareem, guys like James O'Leary, they're 3 or 4 years out yet. Some of them might be ready earlier than others. Michael Foy, guys like that. But then some of the other fellas as well, like, you know, Keane Walsh. I think Dennis Callaghan is a fucking player as well. Beef for Christians. I didn't mention him too much there, but I think he's a proper player. He's got the prop mindset, and you can see him playing, that he has that energy about him. Keane Walsh, the tight head for Christians. Monster of a man. All of these guys are capable of going and developing on even further. Even with the likes of Gene O'Leary Kareem, even with the likes of James O'Leary, John Wigginton Barrett, guys like that, you look at them and you go, some fellas end up believing their own hype, right? And rightly so, because there's a lot of hype and it's all justified. But they never become who they can be. There are players that I saw playing in this game today that I genuinely believe can play for Ireland in the next 4 or 5 years. But they won't do it by believing their own hype. They'll do it by investing in themselves as players, by working hard every day to just be a better player than they were the day before, which sounds like fucking corny old shit, and it is, but it's true. All the players you see at the moment are just, they just improve, get a little bit stronger, a little bit quicker, a little bit more skillful, understand the game a little bit more. You keep doing that every day, and all of a sudden, you are rich, you are wealthy, you have the life that you would have dreamed of having when you were a young fella, because you committed to being that guy. And fellas who were happy enough winning a school's cup, as good as it is, that's all they ever do. But guys like Gene O'Leary Kareem, James O'Leary, Michael Foy, these are guys who you understand have that mindset where this isn't enough. Now it's on to the next. And maybe that'll be playing for Munster at underage. Maybe that will be playing at Ireland underage. Maybe it'll be getting into the Munster Academy next year and then developing and developing and going and going. And it's going to be a challenge. But you look at those players, the talent they have, the drive they have even at this stage, and go, if you don't believe your own hype and you have a little bit of luck and you work hard every day, there's nowhere in this game that you can't go. And that's an encouraging thing, because as an older guy, really, who let it all go, not that I was ever a player of that, I'm not even talking about rugby here. I let multiple lives go. I only lucked out towards the end and found this, but this is a 1 in 100 shot. You have a way better chance than a 1 in 100 shot, and it just needs work, just needs drive. And if you have that, like I said, nowhere, you can't go. If you get a chance to watch this game back, you should. If it means paying €5 to do so, that's €5 that's worth it. Thank you very much for joining me in this podcast. I'll talk to you again very, very soon. Boom!